It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 93 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source of X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Today's a pretty special day. Just my birthday, no big deal. That's how dedicated we are here. Not taking a day off. Gotta record.
Yeah, and in honor of your birthday, we have a whole bunch of new X-Wing news that I'm sure Fantasy Flight released just because they wanted to make it extra special for you.
Yeah, but I have to talk about bombs, so thanks, FFG.
So today we're going to be talking about the recent preview article for the BSF-17 Resistance Bomber. Between the official preview article and some leaks that came out online this past week, we've got pretty much all the details for this new Resistance ship. So let's talk about some bombs.
Yeah, let's get to it. All right, so looking at the BSF-17 Resistance Bomber, I'd have to say this looks like perhaps the most balanced bomber we've seen recently.
Yeah, X-Wing in the past several waves has had kind of a glut of bombing mechanics be introduced and really great new bombers, and some of them arguably overpowered. Bombing's become a pretty strong strategy in the game, some would say too strong, so it's cool to see a bomber that seems a little more finely balanced.
Yeah, I mean, its bomb dropping abilities are really good, but I think the ship's kind of low firepower should make up for that, and really, it seems like the only damage it should be doing to you is through bombs.
So to recap the stat line and the details here for this ship, it's got two attack dice, but it does have a primary weapon turret, so it can shoot anywhere even outside of its firing arc. It has one agility die, a whopping 9 hull, and 3 shields, along with the focus and target lock actions.
Right, and it's also got the system upgrade slot, 2 bomb upgrade slots, and the tech upgrade slot. No elite pilot talents on any of the pilots, which is great for bombers. We've seen with Captain Nim how terrible that can be given those veteran instincts to the bombers.
Yeah, high pilot skill bombing can be pretty oppressive and hard to play around. Thanks to the leak of this expansion earlier this week, we now know the details of its dial. So we've got a pretty limited dial here. We've got a 0 stop maneuver, 1 straight and 1 banks that are green, and then 1 hard turns that are red. We've got all the standard 2-speed maneuvers with these 2 straight being a green maneuver, and then we also have a 3 straight and 3 banks.
So it looks like, you know, pretty limited dial. It's got that stop maneuver, which is really great. And it does have a white turn, so you have some flexibility in your maneuvering there. But this is supposed to be a bit more of a clunky ship. It is nice that it has that one turn, which it kind of needs for launch to be pretty effective. Either the stop maneuver or the one turn allows it to use that new launch mechanic without hurting itself.
Well, and even though its speed's capped out at 3-speed maneuvers, this is a large base ship, so it can still move relatively quickly. It just doesn't have any innate repositioning actions.
Yeah, and it'll definitely take some getting used to and where to set these things up so you can have a really devastating launch, because I think that's how you want to use this. Get that initial damage in by dropping a bomb 5 forward, and then hopefully getting your ship out of harm's way.
Looking at the pilot cards for this ship, we've got all 4 pilots spoiled. Starting off, we've got the pilot skill 1 generic Crimson Squadron pilot coming in at 25 points.
Man, at 25 points, I mean, you can fit 4 of them in. I don't think you're going to take 4 of these things. If you're looking for a big base, 2-dice turreted ship to take 4 of, I think you still want that contracted scout. Yeah, you're getting a bit more hit points with this thing, but that loss of agility, loss of that barrel roll action, I think are pretty noticeable. But I think, you know, maybe 3 of these with some bombs, there is definitely something to be looked at there. Because for just a few points, you can get a lot of bombs on these things.
Yeah, I think the only real trick there with running a couple of these generics is that pilot skill 1 is going to hurt you long term. They do have a lot of hit points, but with 1 agility and no defensive actions, they're going to take a lot of damage as well. But just the innate ability for the ship to carry so many bombs, I could easily see myself fitting one of these at least into my Rebel or Resistance squadrons.
Yeah, I mean, taking 4 of these things, that is 48 hit points for your opponent to chew through.
And it's fun just for that, I think, like just to do it once to say you had 48 hit points out on the board. Is that the most you can get hit point wise out in a 100 point squad? That's got to be close, right?
Can you fit 3 ghosts in a list?
You cannot. 35 points, no.
Ooh, maybe shuttles? No.
Lambdas? No, because they're 10 and you can get 4. 21 points times 4 is 84, so you've got 16 points left.
Yes, you can get a bomber. So that's still, that's 46. All right, there we go. So 48 hit points. Do it up.
So listeners, if you can come up with a list with more hit points, we would love to hear it. This expansion is also coming with three named pilots here. We previously had the Crimson Leader pilot spoiled. That's the pilot skill 7 for 29 points. When attacking, if the defender is inside your firing arc, you may spend one hit or crit result to assign the Rattled condition card to the defender.
And Rattled reads, when you suffer damage or critical damage from a bomb, you suffer one additional critical damage. Then remove this card. Action, roll one attack die. On a focus or hit result, remove this card.
So a pretty strong condition ability there, definitely plays into the bombing role of this ship.
Right, and so this, I mean, even more further than the generics, is going to push this ship into really only dealing damage through bombs. You're basically going to use all of your weapon attacks to just assign the Rattled condition. You're just looking for any paint, because they're probably going to avoid your attack, so you might as well spend it to apply the Rattled condition, and then just try and add an extra damage. We've seen how great Sabine is, and if you can fit Sabine in your list elsewhere and then throw on Rattled on top of that, that should be some pretty powerful bomb damage. But that means Crimson Leader is going to be dealing like zero damage through primary weapon attacks.
Right. So again, there's that balancing point for this expansion where, yes, you've got some really strong bomb abilities, but you've got pretty limited damage output. So hopefully that'll reel in the bomb mechanics, make them not too oppressive.
Yeah, and I do like that the opponent does have some play around this. They can spend an action to attempt to remove it. 5 out of 8 or 63% chance to drop it. That's pretty good. I think I'd gamble an action on that, especially if I knew I was going to take bomb damage.
So the two other new pilot cards that we had not seen before. First one is the pilot skill 6, Cobalt Leader, coming in at 28 points. This card reads, when attacking, if the defender is at range 1 of a bomb token, the defender rolls one fewer defense die to a minimum of 0.
Yeah, so not that great with the reveal bombs like Seismic Charge or Bomb Link Generator, because those will go away before the combat phase starts. But with the mines like Cluster Mines or Connor Nets, there could be some interesting uses. I mean, reducing agility is pretty great. And I think if you had other ships that were utilizing mines or using this ship to set up some more powerful munition attacks for other ships, that could be something worth pursuing.
Well, yeah, and I was trying to think of some synergy here to get this ability to trigger more consistently. So obviously my mind first went to Rebel Nim, who has the ability to prevent bombs from detonating. But then, as you pointed out, Carson, if you're getting them to range 1 of a bomb, why would you not just detonate that bomb and instead wait for it to lower their defense die?
Yeah, I mean, maybe mind games. Like, why would they not do that?
What's going to happen? But with all the cards face up on the table, I think they could probably figure out what you're trying to do.
I think the pilot I like the best out of this expansion is the Crimson Specialist, though. The pilot skill 4 bomber coming in at 27 points. That reads, when placing a bomb token you dropped after revealing your maneuver dial, you may place the bomb token anywhere in the play area touching your ship. Yeah, so you can put this bomb a lot of different options. I mean, you have your regular drop, and then your whole perimeter of your ship you can put the bomb token. And then you're going to execute your maneuver. And I mean, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to get out of range for this bomb, but you do still have that large base maneuver, so you're going to go a lot farther with your maneuvers.
And that large base also accounts for, I think, why this ability is going to be really good, because with the large base, you're actually covering a pretty substantial portion of the game mat. So that bomb dropping radius you're going to have is going to be really, really big.
Right. And I think like just that one spot for your opponent to anticipate with a normal mine drop is difficult. But that's just so many different little options. And usually when you're avoiding a bomb that you know your opponent's dropping, it's like not by that much that you avoid it. And so to be able to anticipate this whole perimeter of the ship's bomb dropping, that's going to be a lot for opponents to handle. But you do still want to be cognizant of where you're putting that bomb and set the appropriate dial so that you can get out of the way.
Yeah, that too hard turn isn't going to move you maybe as far as you expect it to.
Yeah, I think you want to be going straight or banking when you're trying to do the Crimson Specialist bomb dropping. But you still can do your regular bomb dropping too if you don't set the appropriate dial. Or that launch mechanic we talked about a bit.
Yeah, so launch is a new mechanic. We previously saw the upgrade card that enables this ability, but we had yet to know the details of how it exactly worked. We now have those details. The upgrade card is called Trajectory Simulator. It's a one-point system upgrade that reads, you may launch bombs using the five straight template instead of dropping them. You cannot launch bombs with the action header in this way.
Yeah, so putting that five forward template and launching that bomb in front of your ship is basically going to turn these bombs into sort of ballistic missiles.
Well, and this takes bomb dropping to a whole new area where suddenly when you're playing against bombs, you have to try and anticipate even more dropping potential. Because before there was a certain limitation to, well, they have to at least move pretty far forward before they can catch me in their bomb range. But that five straight template is pretty long, so you could easily get caught off guard early on with a surprise bomb drop.
Absolutely. Previously with bombs, you didn't really have to worry about them until after the opening salvo. Now it's not going to be the case. Now with Trajectory Simulator, that's something you have to be worrying about when you are considering that first engagement. You really don't want to get into that launch range. And then the thing is, they showed in the article doing a one-turn maneuver and launching a five-forward bomb. Now you're in a pretty good position to, if that hits your ship on that first turn you launch, that next turn you're in a pretty good position to put some pressure on with the second bomb you drop, which seems pretty powerful.
Yeah, and thanks to the Ordnance Silos upgrade card on this ship, you can stack up a bunch of those bomb tokens, so you'll have more than enough ammunition to lay out some serious bomb threats on your opponent. I think a big limitation here, though, is which ships can take this upgrade card right now. The BSF-17, of course, has the system upgrade slot, but in order to do the launch mechanic, your ship needs to both be able to carry bombs and take a system upgrade card.
Right, so we're looking at the Skurg Bomber and the TIE Punisher.
And not just the Skurg Bomber, the Skurg Bomber also has to have the Havoc title in order to have access to that system slot.
Right, and it's nice that it's a system slot, because this combined with advanced sensors would be really nasty. The ability to, like, say, boost and then launch a bomb five forward, that would be difficult for opponents to really deal with. But Rebels can still utilize that with the new Phantom 2 granting the coordinate action, giving you a free repositioning action. Say if you put a engine upgrade on one of these ships and then use your trajectory simulator. Or for the Imperials, they have the Upsilon shuttle that could coordinate some Punisher repositioning that they have boost built in. So you could do some pretty crazy shenanigans with either of those ships.
So I think the big question here, Carson, is this going to breathe some new life into the TIE Punisher? That's kind of an ordnance-carrying bombing ship that's kind of fallen by the wayside, never really had a strong place in the game.
I don't know. I mean, having that boost action plus trajectory simulator, if you can get a coordinate in there, that would be really awesome. I think Trajectory Simulator, you know, if it's 1 point, it's cheap, maybe.
Yeah, I think the real trick with the TIE Punishers is that I think they were not effective bombers just because of the very slow maneuver dials. You kind of need to be a pretty nimble ship in order to drop bombs effectively. I think this will help them out a lot, enabling them to be a little bit more aggressive with those bombs, where your opponent is not waiting for you to fly past them. When you're coming straight at them, that's the point where the bomb threat begins.
Yeah, and like the Resistance Bomber, that Punisher does have a decent amount of hit points, so it can weather the storm for at least a little bit. Getting to drop, you know, launch a bomb and then drop in the following phase, it should still be alive for that. So maybe, I mean, Punishers are still expensive points wise, but I hope so.
I think maybe the interaction that I'm most worried about just from a design standpoint is Trajectory Simulator in combination with Bomblet Generator, where you can just toss out bombs with no penalty turn after turn, especially on ships that can move pretty slow like the Skurg, where you can just slow roll in, start throwing bombs forward, and just keep a persistent threat out there. That gets close to being pretty unfun.
Right. I mean, you can put Bomblet on the Resistance Bomber, but because it's faster maneuvers, I think it can't abuse that as well, whereas the Skurg has a bit more versatility in avoiding damage from launching.
So yeah, a lot of new and interesting stuff going on with these pilots and with the new launch mechanic. Hopefully we'll get these out on the table here pretty soon so we can actually start trying these mechanics out. Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. As this episode posts, all the outstanding Patreon shipments are in the mail right now. So if you guys are waiting on any rewards, you will be receiving those hopefully within the next couple weeks here. If you happen to have any issues with your shipments, please email us at radiotcx@gmail.com if you have any issues, and we'll try and resolve those as quickly as possible.
In our raffle for this coming month, we're giving away an Alt-Art Corrin Horn pilot and an Alt-Art Ketsu Onyo pilot card.
If you'd like to be eligible for our Patreon rewards and for our monthly raffle, please go to patreon.com/radioTCX and become a supporter of the show today.
All right, so launch is pretty great, but it's going to be maybe hard for the Resistance Bomber to not bomb itself with that launch mechanic. So to resolve that, we got the deflective plating modification, which is limited to just the BSF-17 Resistance Bomber.
Yeah, this is a one-point modification that reads, when a friendly bomb detonates, you may choose not to suffer its effects. If you do, roll an attack die. On a hit result, discard this card.
Yeah, so that might be a pretty necessary card. We'll see. If doing the stop or red one turn maneuvers becomes a little too predictive, your opponent might be able to punish you for taking those safe maneuvers and avoiding your bomb damage. So it might be necessary to take this deflective plating card. But, I mean, you want to save points where you can, so maybe it's worth taking the damage. I'm not sure.
I think it really depends on your situation. But, I mean, at one point and for a modification, which I don't know if I have another go-to modification for the Resistance Bomber right now, I think it's a pretty reasonable value. I'm definitely looking forward to using this card on Crimson Specialist. I think when you're dropping bombs anywhere around your base, it's going to be really nice not to have to worry so much about performing a maneuver that's still going to keep you within range of that bomb. And kind of like you said, Carson, it would make you a little bit more unpredictable.
I think it would have been nice if this was just a card to protect you from bomb damage, like your opponent's bomb damage, and have it be general. That would be a nice mod. You know, there's a lot of bombs running around, and just putting a little extra bomb armor on could be pretty awesome. Something to think about, FFG.
This expansion also comes with another Resistance Bomber-only upgrade card. This time it's a title called Crossfire Formation. Comes in at 2 points, and it reads, when defending, if there is at least one other friendly Resistance ship at range 1 to 2 of the attacker, you may add one focus result to your roll.
Right, so this is the first card we've seen that actually cares about the Resistance faction, which is a sub-faction of the Rebel Alliance here for the X-Men game.
Yeah, which up to this point hasn't really had any mechanical function. When the initial spoilers came out about this ship, we did see a little bit of this card's text, enough to see the word Resistance, so we knew something was up. But this is actually really interesting because it adds a whole new layer to the design mechanics of the game where we can start specifying the sub-factions within each faction.
Right. I mean, so right now your choices are to utilize this Crossfire formation. Of course, more BSF-17 bombers or T-70 X-Wings or the Resistance pilots for the YT-1300.
Well, and I like the inclusion of this kind of mechanic because I think it adds more opportunities to balance the game out. A lot of the more recent releases have been these Resistance faction releases, and those ones, I think, don't suffer from a lot of the balance issues that a lot of older ships do. So when they release a cool new mechanic like this, they can start to balance it within the newer factions, the more recent ships that had a stronger design and kind of match up with the game's current design philosophy.
Yeah, I like these really narrow usage upgrade cards that we're seeing in this pack. I mean, there's three cards that read BSF-17 bomber only. I kind of wish the trajectory simulator was limited to the Resistance Bomber.
Yeah, that's one thing I think I start to wonder about the game in general. We've seen definite balance issues in the past couple waves. I think it would be really helpful if we actually started to see more of the upgrade cards that come in each expansion be specific to that expansion, where if there is a problem, it's only really narrowed down to one ship and is not something that's kind of spread out across the entire history of the game.
Well, and with each, you know, global upgrade card that's not limited to any faction or limited to any ship, it's just its upgrade slot. I mean, that means it has to be taken into consideration with every new release, which has just become quite a big burden for the designers. So if I were designing this, I'd make it easy on myself and really have a lot of limited upgrade cards, which they did in this expansion.
Well, I also think it makes it easier on players now. X-Wing has changed a lot over the last couple of years. We're now, you know, coming out on waves 12 and 13, and there are just a lot of upgrade cards to know and own. So squad building has become a lot more complicated when you have just such a wide selection of different kinds of upgrade cards for each slot. When they get more ship-specific, I think that actually makes it a little bit easier to list build with ships like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk actually about the benefit of Crossfire Formation. Okay, so a narrow usage upgrade card, only for this bomber, and really limits your squad building, only only really want to use it when you're full of other resistance ships. But I mean, adding a focus result on defense, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think the trick there is getting the token to modify that focus result. There's not a lot of great ways to get multiple focus tokens on this ship. It lacks a crew slot, so it doesn't have access to cards like Recon Specialist.
Right, and if you're going to put Crossfire Formation on all of your bombers and put Advanced Optics so they always have a focus token, that's really expensive. That's 4 points for an added defensive result. But I think it's a pretty nice deterrent. I mean, it could make those things a lot more difficult to chew through if they're getting, you know, if you have a focus token, that's a guaranteed evade result each turn.
Well, and when you're looking at ships with a lot of hit points and really low agility, oftentimes the most valuable strategy is not to just eliminate damage entirely. It's just to reduce the rate at which you take damage really consistently. And you have an opportunity here with this card where you could take a focus token, and that's effectively guaranteeing that once per round, you get to cancel a damage that's coming at you, which over the course of a long game and on a 12 hit point ship, that's really going to add up over time.
Well, and range 1 to 2 is pretty wide. So if your squad has 2 other resistance ships in it, this should be pretty easy to trigger every turn. And if there is ways to get it more focus tokens, I mean, this isn't limited to once per turn.
Yeah, the value of Crossfire Formation really goes up if you have a consistent way of passing more focus tokens to your resistance bomber. I think the key trick there is that a lot of the ships that can pass focus tokens right now don't fall within the resistance faction. We're talking things like Garvin Dreyes or a Kyle Katarn on the Hawk. But if you could build a list that gets that synergy in there without taking up too much of your damage potential, you could get a really defensive resistance bomber there, make that thing really hard and undesirable to kill.
Yeah, and like all great Rebel synergy things, they just become even better and epic when you can take more ships.
All right, so the last upgrade card we've got in this new expansion here is a brand new one, and it is not just for the Resistance Bomber. Advanced Optics is a 2-point tech upgrade that reads, you cannot have more than one focus token. During the end phase, do not remove an unused focus token from your ship.
All right, so this is Con Relay, but for focus tokens, and it's a point cheaper.
Yeah, and it's got some really good application. Not every ship can take evade tokens, but every ship in the game of X-Wing can take a focus token. And any ship that can take tech, I think, could benefit from this upgrade card.
All right, how do we like Advanced Optics on the Resistance Bomber?
I think it's okay, maybe a little bit expensive for the value you're going to get out of it. This is not a ship that's doing a lot of damage with attack dice, so unless you have some other way to spend focus tokens, I don't know if there's a lot of innate reason to take this card. I think it combines with Crossfire Formation, where you're basically setting up a focus token that you're going to be able to use to cancel a damage later on. Obviously, then after that point, you're going to have to take new focus tokens each turn.
Yeah, I don't like it with the Resistance Bomber. I think just having that focus and target lock action means you're really not getting much value out of this. Because what it does is it really opens up your other actions. Because then you don't have to take a focus action. You already have it sitting around. But opening up the target lock action, I don't think really does much for the Resistance Bomber. Because it's, you know, attack dice are kind of meh. I mean, yeah, target lock focus can make those primary weapon turrets pretty consistent, but I just don't think that's what you want to be doing with these things.
Yeah, and you're right. And the synergy with Crossfire is just not worth that 4-point investment between the two cards.
But, I mean, I do like it on a lot of other tech ships. Pretty great on T-70s, particularly Mr. Poe Dameron.
Yeah, I think this is probably the first thing that came to everybody's mind. And I think it does address an issue that Poe does routinely have, where having to get that focus token often takes up a lot of other action potential you have. I've flown Poe a fair bit since he's come out, and I think my most common issue is the damage potential Poe has, where he can be a really sturdy defensive ship. I've really been liking him with Intensity, being able to both get a focus token and take a boost. But oftentimes, unless you have some way to modify your offense through Lone Wolf or Predator, your Poe's probably not going to do a whole lot of damage.
Yeah, I think it's pretty solid on Poe, and I think it opens up some other elite pilot talent options, just because then you don't need to rely on Intensity, so you can still focus and still have that boost option. Or if you're already in a great range, take that target lock and actually have some pretty good damage output.
Yeah, and I think that's most what I'm looking forward to here. Because like you said, being able to have advanced optics means you can save that focus token so you can open up your other actions. And being able to actively take a target lock with Poe and not having to worry about getting that focus token each round means that Poe's damage potential is going to go up a whole lot.
This is not bad on an Upsilon shuttle. And it's, of course, not bad on really any of the TIE fighters that can take it. For like quick draw, you can now roll in and have target lock focus for that opening attack. Not bad.
Definitely going to make a missile alpha strike from a quick draw or other TIE SF really potent.
I think the quad jumpers are still going to like pattern analyzers, their go-to tech upgrade. But I think advanced optics just really gives a lot of options. And at 2 points, that compares pretty well to a lot of other tech choices.
All right, so there you have it. A look at the new Resistance BSF-17 bomber coming to X-Wing, hopefully in the next couple weeks here. I'm definitely expecting these to launch sometime before Christmas. I don't think they'd miss the holiday sales.
You mean before December 15th, which is Star Wars Christmas.
Yeah, I suppose that'd be a pretty good time to release it. But we've got some cool new pilots in here, some really cool new upgrade cards. I really like seeing all the BSF-17 specific cards. I'd like to see the game take more that direction there, where the expansions come out, have a lot more upgrades that are specific to that ship. I think that'll help the game stay healthy and balanced. It'll also encourage people to use these newer ships when there are upgrade cards specific to them.
Yeah, I mean, that launch mechanic is definitely going to be fun to put on the table.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/Radio TCX and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening.
Drail14 said of all the X-Wing podcasts, he's found Radio TCX to be the best. So thank you, Drail14.
And a huge thank you to everyone else who already left us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.